You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today we are going to have a special show because we are going to be starting off with an interview with members of the Chicago group The Next Movement. So you should keep tuned because we'll be playing their music and talking about their story. So right now they hopefully are on the phone with me. Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. So first of all, could you guys introduce yourselves as to who you are?
My name is Sam Thomas, original member of Next Movement.
I'm Carnell Haywood, original member of Next Movement.
I'm Mr. P of Philadelphia, of the Next Operation Manager of the Next Movement.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for being on the phone for this interview. So, first of all, what part of Chicago are you guys originally from?
South Side.
So what specific area of the South Side are you guys from?
Well, let's start with myself. I'm from the 7900 South area, and
I'm from 35th Street, 35th and State.
Okay, is that Stateway Gardens you're specifically?
Yes, sir.
So So there were a ton of groups from Stateway Gardens.
Yeah,
like the Lost Generation. I'm sure you could name some of the other groups.
Oh yeah, we know
Miracle Temps, Lost Generation. Woo, we can go on and on.
Okay, yeah, I've interviewed a few groups from there too. Like I interviewed the Soul Procedures and the Five Crowns.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, what year did you guys form?
We formed in April of 1972.
Okay, and you guys were like a kiddie group when you formed. Is that right?
Exactly.
So, what inspired you guys to start singing?
Well, I think basically coming out of the church, that was, you know, was something special. You know, people told me I had something special, so coming out of the church, I wanted to do something a little different, you know. So when the opportunity presented itself, I went for it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Sam. We're really, the era that we grew up in was the era of singing groups, you know, as kids. Mm-hmm. We used to be in talent shows with the Jackson 5, you know, so we always looked at the groups like the Temptations, the Dales, the Shy Lights, which are friends of ours. So, you know, we always emulated those type of groups. And before I got with Carnell and before I met them, I was, you know, singing with my cousins. So really it was music always around, and the group thing was always around. So it was something that was just an inspiration, and we wanted to do at a young age.
Were your cousins in a group?
Yeah, I was in a group with my cousins called the Magic Four.
The Magic Four.
Right.
Okay. And so the original name of your group was The Magical Connection, is that right?
Right, yes. For 1 year, yeah.
How'd you guys, so did you, like, first of all, how old were you when you guys formed that group in 72?
Well, I was 13, mm-hmm. Carnell was 11, and two of the other guys were 11, and the other oldest guy was 14.
What was the full lineup of the group?
Samuel Thomas, Carnell Haywood, Earl Shelby, Guy Sutton, and Alonzo Pickens.
And so, is it, like, at least the record you released sounds very kind of Jackson 5 inspired. Was that the type of sound you were going for at the time?
Back then, it was bubblegum music. That's what it was, yeah, what's happening.
And you guys were pretty young. Was it your idea to form the group? Was it like, did you have a specific parent or adult that was your mentor? Like, what? How did you guys just start and form like that?
What happened, Carnell, Guy Sutton, and Earl Shelby, we had a group which was managed by a guy named Lonnie Hampton. I'm Sam, and I was managed by a guy named James Hall. And those two guys met each other one way or another, and they put me with Carnell and them. And that's how the group, Magical Connections, were formed. You know, I was away from the South, further South, and they were from down on 35th. But our two managers knew each other, so they put us together, and the rest is history.
So the group that was managed by James Hall, that was your cousin's group?
Yeah, that was me and my cousins, right.
So did your cousins not want to sing anymore? Like, why'd you get pulled out of the group to sing with?
They were a little older than me, and I just wanted to sing with somebody my age. And it was really, it was my call. And I just told them I'm going to quit singing if I couldn't sing with somebody my age. And my cousins, them, they went to high school, and they were doing different things other than the music. After a while, so I just wanted to be with somebody my age.
Okay. So in Stateway Gardens, was there a place that all the groups sang, like, or do you guys just sing in the hallways? How did it work?
In the hallways, the elevators. We had a field house that they used to have, like, little parties every weekend. We had little talent shows. We rehearsed over there, Stateway Park Field House. And any given hour of the day or night, you could hear somebody singing in those projects.
Okay, so you did, so the main places you performed were like talent shows, is that right?
Well, no, let me tell you, when I first got with the group,
all over
we had a record getting ready to come out, which you probably, Girl, Why You Take My Heart, the Bubblegum Sonic, and we were on Soul Train with Don Cornelius.
The local, the Channel 26 Soul Train, the local Chicago Soul
right.
Train?
So when we came out the gate, batting a thousand as far as, you know, we did a lot of talent shows. But once the record came out, you know, we were doing, you know, shows. We was opening up for the Shy Lights and, you know, doing stuff like that. We just never got the big break.
And how'd you guys come up with the name Magical Connection? Was it because of that group, the Magic Four, or, like, how'd you come up with that name?
Well, it was my manager that came up with it, and I guess it did. It peeled off from the Magic Four group. But, you know, after my manager and their manager fell out, I stayed with the group. And then we came up with the group name. We had to change our name, so we changed our name the Next Movement, and our manager came up with the name saying, hey, here's the deal. They'll never know what next move y'all will be making on stage.
And that's how the name came about to be.
Okay. So I'm going to play the record in a second. One more thing I wanted to ask is there was actually another kiddie group from Stateway Gardens that put out a record, a group called the Quantrells. Do you remember them?
Yeah, we remember the Quantrells.
Quantrells, yeah.
Did you guys, were they the same age as you? Were you like in competition with them?
They were a little older.
They were a little older.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day,
there wasn't
any competition. You know, everybody did what they did, you know.
Okay.
And even today, it's the same way with us.
Right.
We're never in competition. We just do what we do, you know.
You know, just like if you went to see James Brown, you saw a good James Brown show. But when you went to see Jackie Wilson, you saw a good Jackie Wilson show. So we were always taught not to compete, but just to do our best.
Okay. So the record you released, it was called Hey Girl, Why You Wanna Take My Heart, and it came out on a record label called Solar Sun.
Right.
I think in 1972, is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what's the story behind the record? How'd you guys end up getting a record deal and cutting this record?
Well, that was my manager. My manager had his own independent label.
Was that James Hall or?
James Hall, with James Hall, correct.
Okay.
And that's when he met Lonnie Hampton, which was managing Carnell and them, and we put it together, and that's how I went about. I had already laid my lead vocal track. They came in and did the background tracks, and a month later we were on Soul Train.
Do you remember who the band was that played on the record?
No, well, it was just different musicians.
Different musicians. Yeah.
Okay, just because even the band it's got the Jackson 5 guitar sound on the record, it's a real Jackson 5 type sound and record.
Right.
Okay, well, let me play the record and we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is the Next Movement's very first record as the Magical Connection, and this is called Hey Girl, Why You Wanna Take My Heart.
Thank you.
Okay, that was just the Magical Connection with a track called Hey Girl, Why You Wanna Take My Heart. And that was actually the first record by The Next Movement, which was released in 1972 on a record label called Solar Sun, who we were just talking about was a label ran by James Hall, who was one of the managers of the group. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
And the B-side of the record was the instrumental version. It says, Now You Sing It, on the record. But I guess you guys cut another song at the same session. Is that correct?
Yes.
What was the song called?
Jackson Man.
So was it actually about the Jackson 5? Like, what was that song about?
Well, it was more about a little country boy down south. And it was talking about his daddy had no account and never had much money. But he always made ends meet and took care of his family. He said he was just an old country boy, Jackson Man, kind of country and low down, and that was what he was about.
Okay. And I was just telling you guys that recently on the internet, on eBay, like a British record dealer had a studio acetate, like a dub of that record. It was Hey Girl on one side and Jackson Man on the other, and it didn't have the artist name listed on the record, and he sold it on eBay as an unreleased Jackson 5 record.
Man, I'm killing.
So, and he got a lot of money for it, too. So, so it's just really funny. I think it sold for like £4,000, like a lot of money.
So, an American money.
I think it's almost $8,000 for pretty much one of your guys' records. Like, I think like someone in Japan bought it, like some Jackson 5 collector, you know?
Right.
So it's just kind of funny because I guess you sounded enough like that sound that you tricked the Jackson 5 collector. So soon after that, you changed your name to The Next Movement, and before you described how it was because your management changed and you had to come up with a different name. Is that right?
Correct.
And did the lineup stay the same for The Next Movement?
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm.
Did that record, Hey Girl, get any play on the radio?
Yeah, it got local airplay, little Midwest airplay.
Okay, and you said you guys went on to Soul Train. Did you remember doing any other big shows?
Yeah, we used to do that in Chicago, the Auditorium Theater. We didn't do any other big TV shows, the Park West. We went to Detroit, and they had a television show called The Scene.
Yeah.
We went up there and did that. So we basically was just in the Midwest area doing stuff.
And do you remember some of the acts that you did shows with?
Yes, Jai Lights, Dramatics, Millie Jackson, Barbara McNair, Red Fox, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Flip Wilson, and many, many more.
And so you guys weren't even in high school yet, is that right?
Well, two of us were in high school. The other guys were in grammar school.
Okay. So were you like stars in your school? Or?
Oh, we were stars in the city.
Okay. So how did you coordinate going to school and doing shows? Did you do shows on the weekends or at weeknights?
No, what we did, you know, we had a schedule. When school was out, you did your own work. You had to be rehearsing at a certain time. You know, it was a routine that we had.
Okay. And did you guys practice a lot?
A lot.
Almost every day.
Almost every day.
And you guys were still, you were a vocal group, right? Did you have a band also?
Yeah, we had a band. The name of the band was called The Shadow of the Shades.
And I met someone once from that band, and they were also like a kiddie band. Is that right?
Yeah, they were they were like a little baby bar cave. As a matter of fact, they won a contest in Rhino Magazine for the best band back in the early 70s.
And they were also managed by Darnell Glover, is that right?
Well, Lonnie Hampton.
Lonnie Hampton, yeah, I'm sorry. So your second record got put out on a label called Crown Town, and it was called Everywhere I Go. Do you remember the story who put out this record?
Yeah, well, our guitar player, Alvin Hunter, wrote the song. Oh, he went to high school, Dunbar High School, and he was in high school and he wrote the song, and Lonnie Hampton, which was our manager, and Sidney Foster, another co-manager. That was their record label, Crown Time.
Okay. And I think it even says music by The Shadow of Shades on the record.
Our band did do the actual recording with us.
Okay. And do you remember where you recorded this record?
We recorded that one at, did we do that at either at PS Studios or Chess Records.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember how long after the first record did it come out?
After Girl and Check My Heart?
Yeah, like was it a year later, six months later?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me play the record, and this is more of a ballad type sound. And we could talk a little bit more. So this is the first record that you guys released under the name The Next Movement. And this track is called Everywhere You Go. Okay, that was just The Next Movement with the first record that they released under the name The Next Movement, and it came out on the Crown Town label out of Chicago. If you're just tuning in, I have The Next Movement on the phone all the way from Las Vegas talking about their records. So, again, that record came out around 73, is that right?
Yes.
And did that song get any airplay, too?
Yeah, yes, the mayor. Matter of fact, we went on Soul Train and did that song as well.
Okay. You guys don't, I think almost no one has any footage of the show. You guys don't have actual footage of yourself on Soul Train, do you?
I'd love to get some, though. We're working on trying to get it.
Okay. My friend says, this is obviously later in your career, but my friend says he has some footage of you guys in like 84. Somewhere in Chicago backing Denise Williams, something like that.
At the Regal.
At the Regal.
And he said he knows around what time it is because Harold Washington was in the audience.
Bumping at the Regal.
Right, that was when the new Regal had just opened.
Okay, I don't know if you guys need that footage. I can try to get it to you if you need that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, well anyways, we're still at around 73 where Everywhere You Go came out. And you didn't cut another record again until about 1980. So could you talk about what you were doing in your careers between 73 and 1980?
Well, we did do some recording in between 73 and 80.
Oh, it just wasn't released?
It just never was released. And matter of fact, we did a contemporary gospel album like in 1977.
Well,
we were working with a guy named Harold Harris. which was the personal piano player for Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Towers. So we were just kind of fiddle-falling in between, you know, that the gospel music and R&B music. And we just stayed busy and, you know, just, you know, kept working, traveling, and, you know, we were still kids, so we were just having fun.
So, and your lineup never changed, right? That was unusual for a group to stay together like that?
Right, lineup never changed.
And so you guys said you were traveling. Where were you traveling in the 70s?
In the 70s, Detroit, Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, mostly in the Midwest.
And obviously you were still in high school for a while. You guys didn't graduate until like the mid-70s, is that right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So after you guys graduated, did you do music full-time?
No, we didn't. We worked jobs.
Worked jobs.
And did our music.
Okay.
College and did all that.
Oh, okay. And so you said you actually recorded in 77. Did you record anything else before that, between 73 and 77?
Yeah, we did a couple of remakes, but they never were released.
Okay. You don't remember what labels they were for or who you were working with?
No, we just was recording with our, matter of fact, we're still with our manager, Lonnie Hampton, so we were just doing, you know, just record, you know.
Okay.
Went with a label.
And how did you get with, you said the guy's name was Harold Harris in 77 to do a gospel album. How did that happen?
Well, his friend named Ted Hines.
Right.
Saw the group, and he introduced us to Harold, and, we got with him and we started recording. That's basically how it happened. Now, Ted Hines was good friends with Red Fox, so that's how we came to Vegas. So all of that just kind of came together like that, you know, because we were very well known in the city.
Okay, so that album you recorded, was it, what did it sound like? Was it like straight gospel or had a sort of a contemporary type of sound?
Contemporary.
Before the Wine made contemporary gospel big, we did it back then and just never got released.
Was it supposed to come out on the Playboy label? Do you remember what label it was supposed to come out on?
Well, no, we don't even know what label. We were trying to, you know, he was trying to work a label deal. We really didn't have a label. It was just recording, and he was the one who was going to hook it up. You know, we remember we were kids, so we was just, whatever went, we was happy about it.
Okay. And you don't still have tapes of that stuff, do you?
No.
Okay, yeah, it'd be cool to hear. So, and you said you went to Vegas around that time?
September of 76.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the story? Why'd you go to Vegas, and how did that happen?
We did a show with Red Fox at Sportsman's Park in Chicago. He liked the group.
And he took us to Vegas.
And then he told us, you know, he took us to Vegas for 2 weeks.
So did you do show, like, were you part of, like, a Red Fox show?
Yeah, we was part of his show at the Thunderbird Hotel at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Triple X.
So how did it work? Did you actually play behind him while he was doing comedy, or did he do comedy and then you guys, or did you guys open up for him? How did it work?
We opened up for him.
We did contemporary gospel, and he did his thing afterwards.
Right.
So did the gospel go well with his show?
Interesting.
Well, you know what? A lot of the people really didn't. The music was, you know what I'm saying? Like today's gospel, you can't really tell the difference. Back then, you couldn't tell if it was gospel or not, unless we said a spiritual word.
Okay. So was that actually your goal at the time, was to be a contemporary gospel group?
No, not really.
No. It was a sign of the time.
Definitely.
We was just looking. We were searching for a place, you know?
Okay. And so what pushed you in that direction at the time? Was it your management, or was it just your guys' idea to record that type of music?
Well, right then and there, we didn't have management. So the guy, Harold Harris, who we met, he just pushed us in the door, and we just went along with the program.
Okay. So you did a show with Red Fox in Vegas for 2 weeks. Was that in 76?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And did you stay in Vegas? What happened?
Well, to make a long story short,
I was in the room most of the time because I was 17.
Okay, well, make a long story short. Here's the deal, and this is the word that we got. Red Fox wanted the group, but he didn't want the band.
He wanted the vocal group, you're saying?
Right.
Right.
He wanted us, but he didn't want the band. They were much older guys. They were, you know, in their 30s and
1940s.
So you had left the Shadow of Shades before, you had already left?
That had disbanded.
Did your band have a name, or they were just your band?
Well, the band that we came to Vegas with, the name of the whole organization was called Together. You know, we kept our name Next Movement, but we just didn't say we were Next Movement. We just changed our name to a group called Together with those older guys.
Okay. And were they from Chicago also? Because I know there was a Together from Indiana. Were they from Chicago also?
Chicago, mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and you said that Red Fox wanted you guys but not the band, so what happened?
What happened was, by us being kids, we didn't know, and the guy, Harold, that was running said, well, Red, cool, we're going to go on back home, and he got some more things he's going to have hooked up for us. Well, we got the word back that he wanted the group. He just didn't want them. But, you know, it's the music business, you know. You know, you get told certain things as kids, and you don't know no better.
So what happened? You stayed with Harold instead of going with Red Fox, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, we stayed. We didn't know that Red Fox wanted us. The group didn't know it.
Oh, okay.
Later.
We didn't find out until afterwards. You know, we didn't have no business stuff.
So you came back to Chicago, and what did you do for you? It was like 76, 77. You were back in Chicago, and it was still a few more years before you recorded again. Did you ever go back to Vegas?
No, we didn't.
What did you do in Chicago? Were you just doing shows?
Just doing shows nearby,
going
in college and working.
Working.
And performing. And then 3 years later, we met Lucky Cordell.
Okay, and he recorded a whole album on you guys on a record label called GEC, is that right?
Correct, yes.
And I think Clarence Johnson and a couple other big Chicago people were involved with the label, too.
Exactly.
So where did you meet Lucky?
You know what, I don't even remember how we met Lucky or where we met Lucky at. You know, just being in the city and being a well-known group, I think either Clarence Johnson told him about us, and then we went over to his house one day, sung for him, and that was the rest was history.
Okay, and you were on the same record label that a few other groups were on, Heaven and Earth. Did you know those guys?
Oh, yeah, we know them.
So they released a single off your album called You're the One.
Right.
And you were telling me that actually wasn't the biggest track that got play off the album, was it?
No, Never Stop Dancing was the biggest one they played on the radio real heavy.
Okay, and yeah, that was a nice cut, too. I want to play a track off the album, and we could talk a little bit more. I'll try to play Never Stop Dancing later in the interview, but I queued up a really nice ballad that you did on this album called How Did We Get to This, The Letter.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to play this track, and we could talk some more. So this is the Next Movement with How Did We Get to This.
I'm called you on the phone. They said you were long gone out of my life. And baby, that ain't right. So I sent you a telegram telling you just where I am. Forget about the foolish fight. I gotta see you tonight.
Okay, that was just the next movement with a cut off of their album that was released in 1980. That track was called How Did We Get to This, The Letter. So you guys were telling me that the track, you did get some play off of that album, and the track that got some play was called Never Stop Dancing. Is that right?
Correct, yeah.
Do you know if it got played only in Chicago, or did you get any play nationally or in other cities?
Well, Midwest. It did get a little play around the Midwest.
It was in heavy rotation in Chicago.
And did you start doing more shows after that?
Yeah. We worked.
Generated some more jobs. Yeah.
It generated more jobs, opened up for big name acts.
What were some of the acts you opened up for at that time?
At that time, Millie Jackson, Barbara McNabb for sure, the Shy Lights, the Dales.
The Dramatics.
And I know around that time a lot of the venues closed actually around Chicago. Were you still doing shows in Chicago?
Yeah, we went to Auditorium Theater, which was still a venue. The Park West, which was a pretty good venue. The Erie Crown.
Okay, so you still found places to play?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that album came out, and then around 82, you cut another record on Prelude Records.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which was sort of a famous disco label, and it wasn't based in Chicago even. What's the story with that? How'd you get onto Prelude Records?
Well, that was a deal that Lucky made with Prelude. You know, we basically didn't know the whole scope of it, but, you know, it was between Lucky and the guys out of New York. And that's basically all we know. That's how we got with them. It was through Lucky.
Was he your manager at the time?
Yeah, Lucky was managing us and producing us.
Okay. And the track, Let's Work It Out, looking at the record, I see one of the writers is Leroy Hudson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you remember meeting him, or he just wrote the track?
Well, we met Leroy once.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it actually, even though it got released on New York label, you guys, it says you recorded it in Chicago, is that right?
Yeah, we recorded it in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And did the same people play on it as who played on your album? Because on the album I see it was like top Chicago session musicians at the time.
Yeah, well, that's who played on it. And then once we finished the record, then the guys from from New York did a remix on it, so we don't know if they added musicians or whatever.
Okay. And do you remember if that record got any play?
Yeah, it got some play. It got.
We heard it went. It was number one in the underground in New York. That was all.
Okay, so it got a lot of play because of the, in New York, because the label was in New York.
Right, right.
Okay, well, let me play that record, and we could talk a little bit more. So this is, this came out in 1982, and this is the next movement with Let's Work It Out. Okay, that was just the next movement, released on Prelude Records in 1982, and I think the track was called Make It Last. So, the, and you guys were talking about how that record got some play in New York, you were saying.
Right.
So, did you guys continue to do the same things around that time?
Yeah, we're doing the same thing, working. And, you know, just performing, trying to, you know, see if we can get us a rec- another record deal, because I think right after that is when we left Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
We had got a little older and wiser to the business of music. And, you know, we just felt that you know, things weren't in the best interest of the group at that time. So we just, you know, we moved on.
And you guys ended up recording for a record label called Nuance Records, is that right?
Right.
What was the story with that?
Well, once again, being a well-known group in Chicago, you know, word gets out, okay, well, Next Moon, a free group now. And we run into Gus, which we've known Gus as kids, but not personally. And because Gus comes from Stay With Guns as well.
Okay.
And he just happened to marry one of Carnell's cousins. So it was a shoe-in. And then Carnell went to the wedding, and him and Carnell got to talking, and the rest is history.
Okay, so you're talking about Gus Redman, right?
Correct, yes.
And so he released, you were telling me he released two singles on you guys. I have one called All I Do.
Right.
What was the name of the other single he released?
More Love.
And he didn't, so did you only record those two songs?
Yeah, those were the only two that we recorded. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did it get any play in the city?
Well, All I Do and More Love. First of all I Do was number 54 on Billboard across the country.
Okay.
It was number one as well, underground in New York. It was a big dance song. More Love was 59 on the Billboard charts. So those got national play.
Okay. And around that time, you guys, most of the records you were cutting were like dance-type records, is that right?
Right.
Was that...
Go ahead.
Did you feel that was like your sound, or was it you were going with the sound of music of the day? Like, why did you record that type of music instead of more, say, ballad-oriented songs?
Well, we were going with the sound of today, of that era. But the second record, More Love, was a slow song, was a ballad, which became one of the biggest stepping cuts in Chicago. They still play it today.
Okay. And so what did you do after that? I know, so what did you do throughout the 80s? That was like 84. You cut those two records. You were still based in Chicago at that time, right?
Correct. We were opening up for big acts once again. And after working and the regular jobs and, you know, just still trying to make it to the top, get a hit.
Okay. Did you guys end up, so you guys ended up leaving Chicago in the 80s, is that right?
Oh, you know what, we left Chicago in 1990.
Okay, so you guys were performing in Chicago through the 80s.
Through the 80s.
Did you ever record anything between like 84 and 90?
Yeah, we did some recording. Yeah, we did some stuff, but we didn't, you know, just demo tracks, nothing, you know, we had got older, and we just started doing our own thing, you know, with some of our guys that was working with us, you know, doing, you know, tracking, you know, that's like a lot of artists do now. They just, you know, lay demo tracks. So that's basically what we were doing in between working jobs and doing shows.
And so what happened in 1990?
1990, we said we got to get up out of the city because, you know, the music scene in Chicago was not too good. So we went down to Atlanta to Jack the Rapper, which was a thing, event every year. And we got in the contest there. And
so what was Jack the Rapper? Was it
a music convention. That's where a lot of acts got discovered. Martin Lawrence, and let me backtrack. We did do some recording right before we went to Atlanta, Spend More Time, which was by a guy named Jimmy Hudson, that we recorded. It wasn't released, but we finished it.
You're saying Jimmy Hudson wrote the record?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he had a few groups in Chicago too.
Yeah.
So he was your manager at the time too, or he just did that track with you?
He did the track with us.
And that was never released, and then you went to Atlanta, you said?
Well, no, it did get released once we, I'll fast forward. It got released like in 1994, and as well as six other tunes produced by Norman Whitfield. And it did come out, but before it actually came out, we went to Atlanta, some guys from Vegas were there, they liked the group. We said, okay, we'll come down to Vegas. We came to Vegas and met the entertainment director from the Aladdin Sun a cappella tune. 2 days later, he said he wants us to come back for a weekend. We did the weekend. The next morning after we did the Friday night show, he said, whatever y'all want. So we lived at the Aladdin Hotel and worked there for a whole year.
So what type of stuff did you do on the show?
Oh, we did Temptations, Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Motown, you know, Drifters, Platters.
So did they bill it as like a Motown review type thing?
No, we just worked in the lounge. See, this was in Vegas. You know, we was a lounge act.
Okay. So was there was like people were drinking and you were on stage pretty much?
Exactly.
Okay. And you said did you do a show, more than one show a day too?
Yeah, we did two shows a night.
A night.
Okay. And you were there for a whole year. Was that between like 90 and 91?
No, that was really like 92, in between 92 and 93.
Right.
Okay. And did you guys come back to Chicago or did you stay in Vegas?
We stayed in Vegas. We never looked back.
Okay.
No vacation and never came back.
Yep. We got a leave of absence from our jobs and said we'll be back in 3 months. And we never came back.
So you guys worked the Aladdin for a year. Where else did you work after that?
We worked every casino. We had Excalibur, Luxor, Palace Station, Caesar's Palace,
Boulder Station.
We've worked them all in Vegas.
And have you worked continuously there since like 1992 pretty much?
Yes, we've made a living doing it.
And so you're in Vegas doing a show right now, is that right?
Correct. Matter of fact, we got to go to work tonight.
Okay.
Downtown on Fremont Street at the Plaza Hotel.
So, and you still do the same types of shows that you were doing in 92? What are your shows like?
Yeah, it was just like a show that you...
Top Temptation, Stylistics, Dales, Whispers.
The Platters, the Drifters, Frankie Lyman, Jackie Wilson, James Brown. If you come see the next movement show, you're going to see a show.
And do you guys have your own band too?
Yes.
And is the show just you guys, or do you do like a review with anyone else?
No, just us.
So if people are in Vegas and they want to see you guys, what do they do? They just look in the paper for where you're performing that night? Are you at a regular hotel each?
Well, right now, for the rest of the year, we'll be at the Plaza Hotel Thursday through Sunday, 8:30 to 2 a.m.
Okay.
And if they really want to find out about the next move where we're playing, we have a website, thenextmovementshow.com, and they can find out everything they want to know about the group. They can even go on the MySpace account and look at the history of what we're talking about right now.
And your lineup isn't exactly the same as it was in Chicago, is it?
No, it isn't. It's just me and Connell now. We have two other new members, Donald Albert and Donald Ray Davison.
So the other three guys that were originally with you, were they on all the records through the Nuance record?
Yes.
So what happened? Did they stay in Chicago when you went to Vegas, or what was the story?
Well, the oldest member, Guy Sutton, never came to Vegas with us, but Earl Shelby and Alonzo Pickens did. And they were here until like 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back home.
So they're in Chicago now?
Yeah, they're there now. Tell them we said hello.
Okay, I hope they get to hear this. And... do you know if they ever did any more music, or they just focused on their careers after that?
Well, I mean, we talk to them periodically, and they doubling and dabbling into the music. You know, they're not doing it like we're doing it now.
And you said that you had an album released in 94 with that one Jimmy Hudson song and then a bunch of Norman Whitfield produced records, is that right?
Exactly.
How did that get released? What label was that on?
What label was that? I'm thinking as we're speaking now. It was a label. Oh, Bellmark.
Okay, and it was a CD that got put out?
Correct.
And did anything happen with that CD? Did it get any, like, play on any?
Got a little play, but it fell through the gutters. You know, Al Bell, who owned Stack Records, had the new label, Bellmark.
Okay, that was his label?
That was his label.
And what type of music was that? Was that similar to your other material, or was it more gospel? What did it sound like?
Well, this was more R&B, the Temptation sound. Spend More Time had it was like a ballad type of song.
Okay, and have you ever recorded or released anything else since, like, 94?
No, not really. No, we've just been doing a lot of tracking right now. We're in the process right now of recording. So we've just been doing a lot of recording and just working.
Okay. And so, and people can probably look at your website to find out if anything is coming out when it comes out, right?
Exactly.
Okay, well, I want to play one more track, and then we can talk just a little more. I'm going to play the track that you said got the most play off of your album called Never Stop Dancing.
Okay.
So here it is.
Stop dancing, just keep them dancing all night, baby, all night, baby. I gotta get on down,
get on down.
I gotta get on down.
Down,
I gotta get out on the floor so I can get down some more. Come on,
come dance with me.
Get down, get down, get down, get down,
get down, baby. Dance with me.
You're the won't you be my dancing lady? I like that, baby.
Like
show
that, baby.
Like that, honey.
Like
cause you
honey.
Can get on down.
Get
oh,
down.
Just get on down.
Get down, baby.
Come on.
Won't you come dance with me?
Get down, get down, get down, get down,
get down, get down, baby.
Never stop dancing.
Get on down.
Let's
never stop dancing.
Okay, that was just the next movement with Never Stop Dancing, which was the hit track off of the album they released in 1980 on GEC Records. And if you're just tuning in, we've been talking the whole show to the next movement, and they've been telling their story. So what are you guys doing today?
Today we're still in the music business, working in Las Vegas and back east, and doing a lot of stuff here on the West Coast. So we're still in the game, and we're working on a new CD right now as we speak, and we got a good team of people working with us. And I just want one of our people, Mr. P, manager of our operations, to say a few words.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi.
What I'm doing with the next movement, as you all should know, is that I'm making some preparations to make some ventures to go to Europe. London, Paris, Germany, and we're going to spend a lot of quality time on the East Coast, and hopefully we can come back and do a venue in Chicago.
Okay, yeah, definitely. It'd be cool to come back home and do a show here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope that tour works out well.
Okay.
So first of all, thanks so much for you guys being on the phone and telling your story.
Thank you. You know, it's been a long time coming.
So do you guys have any last words for the radio audience?
Yes, well, we want you to just keep your eyes and ears open for the group, and don't forget about the website, thenextmovementshow.com. And, you know, we'd like to say to you is if we can actually get a tape of this actual interview, that would be great, too.
Yeah, I'll send it out to you, and I'll have it on the website for my show, which is sittinginthepark.com. But I'll send it to you on a CD also.
We appreciate everything. We just, you know, we want all our listening fans or those who knew Next Moon and didn't know that we were still around, we're still around.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, well, have a good night, guys.
Hey, you too, man.
Okay, thanks again.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.